Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on October 2nd, 2016, and is entitled, Watch Out for Fakes.
Well, let's take our Bible. I want to encourage you with your Bible, if you have that, and the lights come on, we're going to look at our bulletin. You'll see the back of the bulletin has today's message. Thank you, everyone. Every one of our announcements are so critical, and we want you to be not only fully engaged, but involved. It's not just something to bring a tidbit of an announcement to. It's something to say, would you consider prayerfully just seeing if this is the next step God has for you as well? Well, while we are together here, we're taking a look at today's message. We are going through 1 and 2 Peter. And we're in 2 Peter. We're right there at chapter 2. We're looking at a message that's entitled, Watch Out for Fakes. Watch Out for Fakes. Peter is very hot in regards to seeing what we could do to eliminate false prophets, false teachers. We've been seeing how nice Peter has been to the suffering Christians, how encouraging he is. But when it comes to this topic, those false teachers, false prophets, man, he takes it up to another octave. And it's different. So with that here, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. When we deal with the aspect of just fakes, isn't it interesting that counterfeiting has become a multi-billion dollar industry? We talk about fake watches, fake purses. There's even fake medicine. You can usually come across that because those costs to purchase those are so inexpensive. It's just something that's like, wow, is this thing real? We were in Central America and came across a sign that says fake watches. So the person that was our escort said, is that for real? And the watches looked so good, you could not tell that they were a fake. I'm glad the sign, I mean, at least they were honest. Unless you were to take them apart and realize, wow, this is inferior product on the inside. But it's interesting to note how that there can be those things that come across our path and that others would come along and try to bring a sense of a false presence or truth about God and His Word. We come along there and those false prophets are people that would bring a label about what God is like or what His Word is. And so Peter becomes extremely harsh. Why is Peter so harsh? Well, because you might even have individuals, and maybe even here this morning, that would say, you know, wouldn't it be just more appropriate if, since a person's sincere in their faith, just kind of let everybody kind of go about doing what they need to do? They're sincere in their approach to God. But if we were to look at the fact of having a person who would be blind and maybe walking toward the edge of a cliff, say, let them alone. They're sincere in their walk of blindness. You realize that doesn't make sense. And here we have Peter going at it, saying, hey, beware, this is what's going on, and we recognize that. We too also would see in Exodus chapter 20, in chapter 20 of Exodus is the Ten Commandments. In verse 4 is the second commandment where God says, do not make any false image of me. Now that's important. When he goes on in detail in Exodus 20, verse 4, he says, man, because I'm a jealous God, I will visit your iniquity to the second, third, and fourth generation. Why would that be so vindictive like that? The aspect being, God knows that if we paint a wrong picture of God, you convey that then to your children will convey it to their children, your grandchildren. Now, your grandchildren will teach it to your great-grandchildren. And they have a false image of God. Somebody spoke a false teaching about God. Don't have a false image. Don't go after idols. So when we recognize this, very important to the Lord. And Peter diagnoses the problem and is ready to do that. Like he's kind of like conducting survey. And then he says, this is how it is. So let's pursue now. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. We'll go to verse 14. Says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. You, or who, will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. When we take a look here, isn't it interesting? Three principles, these signs, we could say, man, beware of false teachers. Beware of false prophets. Kind of like the sign that when you go up there and you're with us on Radius 3, beware of the dog kind of a thing. But can you see here, Peter, man, we've enjoyed some encouraging words from him. All of a sudden, God's moving on him to say, these are people and things that you must be aware of. Watch out. Let's take a look at the first one, these three principles. Be aware of their falsehood. These things, there's characteristics of false teachers and of false prophets, really probably 25 in this passage. Matter of fact, Peter goes on to one long sentence as we were just reading together. And I've whittled it down to five. How about that? But one of the things, let's take a look. First is, they will always be around. Look at verse 1. But there will also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Let's take a look for a moment, because it's worth noting in this here, they've always been around. False teachers, false prophets, they've been here since the day of Moses. They will be coming on until the day of the Messiah. And you take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, there's a whole chapter that is devoted to how to spot a false teacher, false prophet, false dreamer of dreams. It's interesting to note, too, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, I know you'll write them down because you're going to get into your life groups. He talks about how that false prophet prophesies lies and sweeps my whole nation of Israel into deception. Man. And then also in Jeremiah 14, 14, how that the prophet prophesies lies and then has a false vision, confusing people. So those prophets will always be there. There'll always be false gospels. There'll always be fake Christians. And it's going to even become a false Christ at the end of days. It's very clear in Scripture. One of the things about the tactics about Satan is that he loves to be deceptive. Matter of fact, that's how it's always been. It's shared by Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 44. He's called the father of lies. Man, he's been lying from the beginning. So deception's big. Kind of like Newton's law, third law of motion. Every action brings an equal and opposite reaction. And isn't it interesting to note that somehow when people start bringing in the truth, right away the enemy starts bringing in bugs. It's kind of like in your summertime, turning on the porch light at night, all of a sudden bugs start to be attracted to the light. Whenever good teaching starts coming forward, it's amazing how darkness will try to wiggle its way in with deception. It's been noted, it's something that always happens. And so as we look here, we're taking a look at a couple of things that are just indicative of false teachers, false prophets. Take a look at your bullet point first. They distort the truth. Can you see that in your notes? Verse 1, who will secretly bring destructive heresies. Noted right there. Can you see that? You may want to underline that. It's worth noting. What is a false prophet? Why would Peter be so upset and address this? Because heresy, really, it speaks about somebody who just chooses to just believe something is true when he knows it isn't. It's a heresy. A heretic, and this is what William Barclay says, is a man who believes what he wishes to believe instead of accepting the truth of God, which he must believe, becomes a heretic. I don't know if this is true or not. It's just the way I believe. And then they just spread it. And so they spread those heretical lies. And why would anybody want to just kind of believe a lie and not really believe the Word of God? It's going to be important for us to get into the Word, to know what the Word says, but especially to know Jesus. It's worth noting, too, because all humans long to worship something. And I think one of the reasons why we just kind of believe whatever, even if we know it may not quite be true, is because we have an aversion to the truth. Most people really don't want to kind of pursue the truth because that might mean that we have to change. And if we have to change, that means I got to rearrange some things in my own life. So I'm going to kind of make my own course of action and just kind of stay the way I am. Therefore, I'm going to believe this and teach others to believe this. And before you know it, man, you have other generations that believe this. I still have some things that my own relatives said, well, we've always done it. Dad, why do we do it that way? Well, we've always done it that way. And he doesn't have an answer. And so we have relatives that still do it that way. And so sometimes we have to be, it's kind of like a salad bar. You get to go up to the salad bar. Man, there's a lot of ingredients here. You get to pick and choose. Like how sometimes Christians can when they say, there's certain truths I like. I mean, I love that, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. I like that golden rule, do unto others as you do unto, as you want them to do for you. And then, but I really have taken on a diet, a guilt-free diet. I don't want anything that makes me feel bad. So I'm not going to go after anything that troubles me. So it's important when we take a look. False prophets use our vocabulary, but they don't use the same dictionary you and I. You will hear them speak the name of Jesus Christ. You'll hear them use the word salvation. You will hear them use the word inspiration. But the words mean something different. That's important. They distort the truth. Next bullet point, they deny Christ. Look at verse 1. Can you see it? Even denying the Lord who bought them. There it is, verse 1. He's saying, you can spot them. They're going to deny the Lord who bought them. Now, when we look at this, something about a cult, you say, well, what's a cult? Well, a cult is basically a group or an individual that just says, I don't believe Jesus is the only way for eternal life. All cult with an O is something different. That is where you have the people that work in the dark magic arts, maybe New Age, where they're spiritual, but man, watch out. They're more into the darkness of things, and that is the occult. But the cult, if somebody were to knock on your door and pay you a visit, oh yeah, man, we believe in Jesus, you would want to ask them, explain what you believe about Jesus. Explain your Jesus to me. Who is he? That's important. That would be important to come along because in verse 1, the scripture says, denying the Lord. That literally can say they contradict the Lord. In essence, they're saying things that Jesus didn't even say about himself. Can you imagine? Jesus could say, "You know, I never said that." That's what they're doing. They could say, "Well, you know, we believe this way, and we know your following goes that way, and your denomination and your movement." And yeah, but what did Jesus say about himself? That's the beauty of getting into the Word, reading the Gospels, finding out the heart of Jesus. Ooh, that's so important. And you get to know the one who redeemed you. You'll sense a wrong spirit come through that door at any time. But they deny Christ. To deny him would be basically, here we go. They would deny his incarnation. In other words, they deny that he left heaven and came to earth. We call that Christmas. They come along and they deny his salvation, that he did not live a perfect life, and that he did not pay for that atoning work for you. They deny the substitution. In other words, that he bore your sins and took our punishment. They deny the fact of his resurrection, that he conquered death for us and man secured eternal life. We call that Easter. They deny that. They deny his ascension, that he is seated at the right hand. They deny that of God and that he's worthy to be worshiped. Don't worship Jesus, Mom. Nah. So Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. That's important. How about the third bullet point? They broaden the way to heaven. Let's look at verse 2, back at 2 Peter 2:2. "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Now that word "many" in verse 2, is that false teachers are going to be very popular. That's the term. It's going to be big. I mean, engaging in conversation. What are you studying and where are you going? And can you imagine? When we take a look, now salvation's easy. It really is. It's everybody can be saved. Jesus, everybody come. Everybody. He narrows it down through him only. Everybody can come, but this is how you do that. And he even speaks that so clear in Matthew 7:13. Remember that? "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going on into that." So you can see a false prophet is going to broaden the way to heaven because they're going to say, "You know, that's just not fair, you Christians. It's not fair. And you alienate all these people out there. How can you be so narrow-minded? Let's open it up. Let's broaden. Everybody can come." That's what a false teacher does. That's what a false prophet does. So when we look at that, I was in a setting where I heard a young lady tell somebody, "You need to read this book. About this preacher is really good. You will read it and you will feel good about yourself. No guilt. He never brings up sin. He never tells you how bad you are. Just, you know, come as you are and God will use you from there." Can you imagine? Now, I like that. I need that. But there are times to say there are certain things and patterns that need to be just kind of set aside so that the fullness of the kingdom can come upon a person and, man, not move without guilt. Let's take a look at the fourth bullet point. They cover up their motives. Verse 3, check it out. It says, "By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." So if we look here for a moment, they want something from you. They want power. They want money. They want status. "By covetousness, they will exploit you," verse 3 says. I like it where the Apostle Paul came along, and he was talking about that as well. And that guy just he'd say, "Man, I've not only am I burdened for just you, dear church," he said, "but for all the churches in Asia Minor." But he wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 2:5. He says, "For neither at any time did I use flattery words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is my witness." He never went at it says, "You know, I'm coveting something from you, and we're going to teach and lead this direction." I remember as a young man, and I went out to Coachella Valley because I just, you know, when you start off with Christianity, you get into, you know, Christian broadcasting and television, because you go, man, these guys are like moving in miracles and it's awesome. And I would, it's true. Like, man, there's got to be somebody out there with the real gifts and moves and the uniqueness of it all. So I'm out there in my 20s. I'm out there in Coachella. It was a convention. I won't tell you who it was. But I remember just before the teaching, they went on for about an hour and a half taking up the offering. And I remember thinking to myself, "I, what's going on?" Because they said, "I feel a word of knowledge. Somebody needs to give $50 right now. If you give $50, God's going to move upon." No, no, it's 100. There's some who can, you know, I mean, I thought, wow, what? And I'm so glad that the Lord helped me, like He's doing us now, just seeing the Word of God, where we realize there are false prophets and false teachers. You can detect these things. And man, Peter was hot. He says, man, they're going to covet stuff from you. I just remember it was a big stream that day of just one big parade bringing down your faith gifts. And that's between people and the Lord. They all were innocent, but the individual. And I'm glad. I'm just glad that God helped me to see things that there are certain things I don't want to emulate. I don't want to replicate. I want things to be sincere. And the Lord helped me to see those things. You might come across that every now and then. It says that there are many out there that could happen. They'll always be. It's always been that way. It's been in the time of Peter. And it'll even get more active at the soon coming of Jesus. So, something we just need to take a look at. How about number 5? They despise authority. Verse 10 says that. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So, because authority really means accountability. We don't want to be accountable to anybody. I feel I've got the revelation. So, Peter's dealing with that. He's bringing those things up. They are not sheep, and yet they act like experts. Beware of their falsehood. How about number 2? Be assured of their faith. In verse, well, let's look at it a little bit here. He lays it out in verse 1. Can you see it there? At the end of verse 1, he says, and bring on themselves swift destruction. About number 3, look at verse 3, end of there. And their destruction does not slumber. Let's move on a little bit to verse 12. Look at the end there. And will utterly perish in their own corruption, top of verse 3, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. So Scripture is just very clear how that God's just letting us see in the Word, woven throughout the text, is the fact that false prophets will have a severe judgment. That's all that's bringing up. Because we recognize the Word of God in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But there's something about a person that misrepresents the image of God, who God is, what He says. False teachers will be eternally just really kind of spit out. So nothing's more offensive to God than deception. Nothing, I believe, upsets Him more than somebody that falsifies facts about God. And false teachers who enter true churches, that does happen. That does happen. And people who have not been discipled, do not know the Word, and are looking for that, especially if there's a spirit that comes behind that charismatic teacher, can really suck a person in. Why it's extremely important when we take a look at that. Does this matter to God? Why is God so punitive? Why is Peter so decisive and descriptive about these things? Man, because it matters, let's put it this way, what you and I eat spiritually. It matters. You take a look at certain things and you don't really kind of spend it out and just kind of fellowship it and just work it out, it will be destructive to that individual that says, well, I'm just going to claim it as true. Well, what if it isn't? What if we don't have something to back it? It can, my mom used to say, you are what you eat. Okay, Mom, I'll have more of it, but if you say so, you know. But we have to be careful. How about number 3? Be aligned with the faithful. Be aligned. Let's look at verse 5 for a moment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Let me just kind of highlight this and we'll see if we can kind of cap it. It is interesting to note that God used Peter to write these two men, Noah and Lot. Neither one were perfect people. Man, you read about them. And you got Noah in Genesis chapter 6 through 8. Take a look at Lot in Genesis 19, 1 through 29. I mean, Noah's out there. He's preaching for 120 years. Doom is coming. Get into the boat. Nobody comes except 8 people. He lists 8 people. That's his family. Lot, he goes out and he's telling Sodom and Gomorrah, and man, destruction comes down on an incineration of just those two cities. And he barely escapes with his two daughters, who were married, by the way, and the Bible says they were virgins. So he goes to the two sons-in-laws, and they thought dear dad-in-law was kidding, and they decided to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah. So we want our life to really match up with our words, because when something happens, you say, man, that is not true. That's not the way to go. Okay, Dad. All right, Mom. We know your life measures up. You can imagine that when it really mattered. You say, I don't think that's going to happen. So when we see here, both escaped. Noah and Lot both escaped the promised judgment, and that's what is being brought up here. But there is a theological pattern, verse 9. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment. I believe that. I believe God will deliver Christians from the judgment of this society. I believe that's called the rapture. You are the church of Jesus is the hope for humanity. If you've never heard that, it is true. That's why, but it is interesting to note that there are false teachings, false prophets out there trying to just blur out your message. Keep sharing Jesus. Keep telling people. God will rescue the godly before the ruins of the ungodly. And so, let me just add this. Summing it up, why would God bring this message? Because it's just as important as John 3:16. I think God loves us. God loves you. He let this portion be in there. God's very concerned about people being led astray by false teaching, false assumptions. Remember that aversion for the truth? We're just going to go and do our own thing. Second thing, I think that God wants us to find faithful people as examples that we can emulate. Lot, Noah, they weren't perfect. But man, you want to get with faithful people. It's going to be important. I like Philippians 4:9. The Apostle Paul says, the things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace would be with you. And the Apostle Paul says, don't just go out there and try to find somebody like me, he says. Do what I do. Say what I say. Follow God like I do, and God will be with you. Till you pick up and are able to teach somebody as well. Align yourself with faithful people. That they knew that when God made a promise, these dudes, Noah and Lot, when they knew when God made a promise, he's going to stick with it. That's why you want to hang in there with people that say, I'm taking God for his word. Let's do that and follow those people. And then finally, it's that permanent record. God keeps a permanent record. He really does. And sometimes we just kind of forget that. They don't worry about those that seem like they are out of control, ungodly, ruining things in your environment or life. God knows. God knows. There's a dude named Bob Green. He wrote an article, and I'll welcome our keyboardist up. Wrote an article about what he believed was wrong in our world and our culture. And he blamed it on one thing I thought it was kind of interesting, the death of the permanent record. Well, let me just read it to you. In his article, he says, "When I was a kid in school, my teacher used to warn me about the permanent record. Now, this is going to be on your permanent record. Don't do that, because they'll be on your permanent record." And he said, and I heard those words all the time. He goes, "I don't hear them at all anymore." So records, isn't it something? We had communion today. Things that could be on my permanent record. I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. Covered in the blood. Friends, there's great hope for us personally, but let's not just let it be consumed. Don't be a consumer. Share with others. It's a great time in our society. People need to hear about Jesus. Even if you can't explain him, please tell your story, what he has done for you. Please tell your story. Prayed about Jesus, and my life is turning out so much better. That's a great story. That's a great story. Just bring people back to Jesus Christ. Let's close our Bible, shall we? And it's been a wonderful day. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Taking some liberty, a little extra time, and I want to be very mindful of that. We do have individuals that will be here up front to pray, and if they could come forward and station themselves, we would welcome that. Well, friends, once again, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for being here at Hope Chapel. Thank you for getting into, once again, the Word of God in prayer. Thank you for breaking bread with Christians. Thank you for fellowshipping, seeing how the Lord can use you to benefit your church and vice versa, your church. Very important, part of the Christian way of living. But let me pray you off that blessing, and these individuals are here to just assist you however you might need assisting. Come again. I want to see you next Sunday. Look forward to that. Father, we sure love you. Lord, what a hard message to some degree. But Lord, thank you for allowing us to just see that it is in the Bible and that these are realities that somehow seem to continue today. That, Lord, we want to hear the voice of the shepherd. Lord, you said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and another they will not follow." Lord, I'm counting on you to do that for these dear ones. You love them so. So do I. Let them hear your voice today. Let them rest good this afternoon. Let them walk in ways that are prosperous, that bring an awakening, not just to them, but to their environment and society, so that others say, what is it about you? You look so happy. Lord, may your kingdom come upon each one. In Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God's blessings to you. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.